Remote viewing, I guess it's probably always been around. It's the ability for people to perceive places, events, objects that are not either in the same space and time or at a remote distance. You know, people call it visioning, prophecy, all kinds of different things. Stanford Research Institute, associated things where they just started doing this and were being funded by various agencies. And what came back, it came back very, very, you know, high quality information came back. And eventually, of course, they said they shut the program down, but that's highly unlikely. And he just had this natural ability. I mean, he's the greatest mathematician ever lived. Probably nobody comes close. I was observing it. Suddenly a hand began to write on the screen. I became all attention. The hand wrote a number of elliptical integrals. They stuck to my mind. As soon as I woke up, I committed them to writing.
Many are aware of curcumin's great multifaceted benefits. It has antioxidant protection and hormone balance support. A research study indicates curcumin can help protect against estrogen mimicking chemicals, help shield against free radicals, and encourage normal cell cycle growth, amongst many other things. But the Rev Genetics curcumin has been shown to get 270 times more of the compound into a woman's bloodstream than standard curcumin supplements. This means that this product works much better than any other curcumin supplements on the market. I am so excited to be able to offer this to you. Click on the link below and see scientific studies, charts and comparisons, and much more. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have the scientist Ken Schwartz coming from Purple Power. And he was like a kid in a candy store when he was telling me about this remote viewing episode where this guy who knows nothing about C60, he was learning all this base science about C60 and the chemical makeup and how it's formulated and that it spins and all sorts of things that he said it took him a year. And even he learned new stuff, and he's going to talk about it, new stuff about the compound that he never knew, and it turned out to be true. So he's like a kid in a candy store. So what we did, I said, okay, Ken, let's come on and let's talk about it. But so what he did is we talk about remote viewing first. What is remote viewing? And because some of you are just first being exposed to it, or maybe you saw the movie Men Who Stare at Goats and think it's stupid or whatever. But there's been so many people, scientists, that have claimed to come up with their inventions, their thoughts due to this. They might not have used that word. They might have said a dream every morning, or in the mornings they come up with this new thing. Tesla said that he used to come up with stuff in his dreams. So we're going to talk about that. Seven famous things that have come up through remote viewing. And then we're going to get into the C60 and what stuff they've learned about C60 through remote viewing lately. And then Ken sticks around for my patrons. And as you know, his dad was Wernher von Braun's boss for a while when he first came over for the space program. And his dad worked on all sorts of top military projects. And he's going to talk about a issue with a nuclear missile and some of the sabotage that actually went on with these programs. Very interesting story that he tells. So for my patrons, the link is below for you. So let's get into my interview now with Ken Schwartz. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Good to be here. And happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thank you. I got my sweater on because it's cold outside. But, you know, Valentine's Day in February, it's going to be cold here in the Twin Cities. Well, I wanted to bring you on because remote viewing. I want to talk about remote viewing, and we're going to talk about the seven greatest discoveries found in remote viewing. It's fascinating. And a lot you were saying, and I want you to talk about this too. We're going to talk about what remote viewing is, but remote viewing has also gone under different names and people don't even realize it. First of all, can you talk about what remote viewing is and how can you explain it from, you know, your science background?
Well, I don't know if a classic science can explain it, but it really does work. And remote viewing, I guess it's probably always been around. It's the ability for people to perceive places, events, objects that are not either in the same space and time or at a remote distance. And so it's probably always been, you know, people call it visioning, prophecy, all kinds of different things. But the concept of remote viewing came in, it was basically, I think it started in the 70s and worked its way into the 80s with U.S. government associated things. They had some Stanford Research Institute associated things where they just started doing this and were being funded by various agencies. And what came back, it came back very, very, you know, high quality information came back. And eventually, of course, they said they shut the program down, the programs down, but that's highly unlikely.
Well, not when it came back with good information. They're not going to shut that down. Now, there's been a lot of talk that Tesla and other scientists have actually gotten their information through remote viewing. What is that? What do you know about that?
I think we could say that, but these are some examples in history. I mean, remote viewing is just a word we use today. In other, you know, people see, or they saw it in a dream, or they had a vision, or they had this or that. Well, basically what it is the mind focuses on it, that somehow the mind can project itself into faraway places, different periods in time, usually in the past. There's a certain ability, you can't go beyond a certain level, at least that's what some people say, into the future before it comes hazy. And so that they can, or they could see things. And, you know, originally the government was using it for, you know, when the government part of it was like to spy on the Russians or somebody else. That was there. So there's plenty of things. And then there's Ed Dames, Dick Allgaier, and several other people that if you go back in history, and several others that have passed away since it happened a while ago, that were really good at it. And but this is some examples that, you know, I looked in.
Well, before we get into the examples, how do you know whether it's BS? You know, how do you know you just didn't have a dream and it's not? Because we have plenty of dreams where I'm being chased by a crocodile in a stream that's too short or too shallow for me to swim, but I'm still swimming, or, I mean, just something stupid.
Well, I've had experiences myself, so I know that it's a real thing, but I didn't put it under the box of remote viewing. It's like Mount St. Helens. That was many years ago. I wanted, you know, I was like trying, what's going to happen? What's going to do that? And I had, you know, I was kind of like associated with a dream more than like what you would say is classic remote viewing. But I kept having it, and it happened again. It always, the mountain was always blowing out sideways. You know, I thought of volcanoes, you know, they're supposed to go up. But this thing, you could just see it. And it's a strange color. It's not like black or white or red. It's this weird, I don't know, it's like a color you can't describe. And it kept going. I kept seeing it come out the side. That's not the only ones. I've had many things like that through my life. So my grandmother was a famous psychic, by the way. So anyway, that was a...
Who was your grandmother?
Esther Swartz, and she was in Nebraska, Wahoo, Nebraska. And they used to come from all around the state, you know, where is this missing person? Where is the hole in the fence the cow got out? Where is this? Where is that? Finally, they had to leave the state and move to California to kind of get out of that whole thing. So that was back a long time ago.
That's awesome. Do you remember the woman that was really into it in California? That she was part of the gun family. What's the name of the guns?
Winchester.
Winchester. And she had Anna Winchester, I think is her name. She had that spooky house and stuff. Did she get a hold of your grandma?
I don't know. Once my grandma moved to California, she kind of just kept quiet from it, because it became a real problem in Nebraska. To people coming all over, always wanting this, that, you know, whatever. And it was, and that's one of the reasons they left. So,
interesting.
What an interesting. She kept quiet of it afterwards.
Okay. Well, so then, well, it was really big back then. They were more serious about it, and before it kind of got squashed. Now, what are the top discoveries that came from remote viewing?
Well, these are ones, you know, that they had to thing. And I just, you know, just this is some preliminary stuff. You know, there's lots online, but the first one is Medvedev's periodic table. I'm just going to read some of this stuff for a few people, so, because it's better that. So Dmitry Mendeleev, and he came up with the periodic table for that, you know, where all the elements are arranged and that.
And he claimed he got it in a dream or something?
Yeah, so this is what he said. In a dream, I saw a table where all the elements fell into the place as required. awakening, I immediately wrote it down on a piece of paper. So he kind of saw, I mean, there's a whole story of how the elements, you know, there was missing elements because we hadn't, like, helium and some things we never discovered. And so it never, and they tried to match them chemically, but that can be difficult. And so he had, like, a vision. He saw it, and then he just wrote it in there. And at the time when he did it, there was a lot of missing gaps in it. So
well,
it wasn't
isn't
like
there
we had a
still
sequence.
Isn't there still things missing? Some people say there's another six elements or something that just...
Oh, yeah, there's. We keep building big ones like 115, 118, 119. You know, they're coming up with these bigger and bigger elements. They don't last very long, but they're still working on building it, so they're not very stable. And there's a couple others here. Alfred Russel Wallace, for those of... there was Charles Darwin came up with the theory of evolution, and then Alfred Russel Wallace, also a British naturalist, came up with it. And he said in 1858 he had an extreme dream in which the shape of hallucinations, that's what he caused by tropical fever. When the fever had gone, he found that the theory of evolution by natural selection had come with him. And Charles Darwin had already found out about it, and he wrote a letter to Charles Darwin, and Charles Darwin said, "Oh no." So I think he and Charles Darwin presented it before the British Science Society or whatever it was, the Naturalist Society, as a co-concept. So there's another one.
In keeping with my promise to provide the absolute best products I can find that I take personally and would give my family, I'm really excited to show you their advanced NMN, which has been proven to dramatically increase your energy and much more. As discussed in multiple shows with Ken Schwartz and Cliff High, NAD is a great supplement to enhance C60's effectiveness. But even on its own, NMN can pass through cell membranes and join with other NMNs to then convert into NAD+, making it much more effective than other NAD supplements on their own. NAD and NMN has been scientifically shown to increase DNA repair in cells. It has also been shown to promote the creation of new mitochondria that can replace our old mitochondria, and it can also increase the removal of damaged mitochondria in our cells. It maintains stem cells' usefulness and ability to regenerate. It also has been shown to reverse age-associated expression of genes involved with inflammation. It does this and a lot more, and it does this at an affordable price of $37.95. Click on the link below to find scientific studies and to learn more about this amazing product.
A lot of people think, and what is your thought on that? Natural selection, obviously, there's proof that we slowly become improved or adapted to wherever we are. But there's so many huge jumps in our evolution that people are having a hard time believing that's the whole picture.
Well, there's more. There's like epigenetics. I don't know if people heard of that. That was like, there was Lamarckian. They always used to criticize him because he said that certain characteristics could be generated from like the parents were in a bad environment. And actually they discovered it's called epigenetics. The DNA is actually methylated, so it's either suppressed or sometimes increased. And so actually the parent can pass on, quote, genetic modifications. It wasn't like they changed the genome, they changed the expression. It used to be criticized terribly when I was in school, but now they Lamarckian is really just an early understanding of epigenetics.
Well, but what about you know what people are saying that back in 100,000 years ago, or even the time of the Bible, though, that's really we were being messed around with genetically.
Oh, well, there is some interesting things. Like if you look at all primates on the planet except for one, humans, have 48 chromosomes. Humans have 46. Now, why does every other primate have 48 and we got 46? You know, and some people claim it's so that somebody's from somewhere else's little breeding experiment wouldn't backmate with the locals and ruin their breeding experiment. So, and basically we have the same genetic information as let's say a chimpanzee, it's just that it's packaged in 46 chromosomes rather than 48. So, and that's, there's something else about 46, 23. These are certain harmonic numbers, prime numbers and stuff that make it more stable or whatever. But so that's, you know, that's, there are some interesting portions of human DNA, which kind of strange where they came from. So
exactly,
we can't be sure.
Okay, what else did you find?
Okay, there's some other ones. This is the classic one, the discovery of benzene. And this is August Kaluuya. He's been, they've been working on, the chemistry, and he could never figure out what benzene was. And benzene is basically the six-sided ring of carbon, six carbons in a ring. And he was dreaming, thinking about that. And three of them have double bonds. Three of them don't. They all have a double bond. And he had a dream of a snake eating its tail. And then he suddenly understood, because there's paraffins, which are like a wax, which are six in a row. But benzene was different. It was like a liquid. It reacted different. How could this be the same atomic weight as, let's say, the paraffin, or nearly the same atomic weight, yet act so differently? He had the dream of a snake eating its tail. And then he realized that the benzene was a ring. And so there's another example of it. And, of course, and here's the other. This is the classic one. Probably the greatest, and I'm probably going to butcher this name, so I apologize to people.
I do that all the time.
So it's Srinivasa Ramanujan.
Yeah, you did anyway. A terrible job. It's as bad of a job as I do. But
he's probably the greatest mathematician who's ever lived. He had like this ability to.
Is it Indian? Is he Indian?
Yeah, he was from India, He was just a clerk in like a shop in working in, you know, a shop somewhere, and he wrote the British you know, society stuff, and he gave him all these mathematical proofs and things, and finally he went to England, and he just had this natural ability. I mean, he's the greatest mathematician's ever lived. Probably nobody comes close.
It just always was there for him. It was like he didn't have to work at it.
And this is his experience of one of the proofs that he came up with. And he always said it was the Hindu goddess Nam Agari, which gave him this. So she's the goddess of mathematics and learning to a certain extent. This is an example of his things. And then while asleep, I had an unusual experience. There was a red scream formed by flowing blood, as if it were. I was observing it. Suddenly a hand began to write on the screen. I became all attention. The hand wrote a number of elliptical integrals. They stuck to my mind. As soon as I woke up, I committed them to writing. And so, and this happened a lot. He said that this goddess of mathematics from India was sort of tutoring him or bringing him this knowledge. And whether people want to accept that or not, you know, they have this thing about the Akashic records or whatever that people call that. But, you know, and we're not alone in the universe. So any thought like a thought that, you know, was made by some alien civilization a billion years ago, 100 million ago, a million years ago, is somehow imprinted in the universal morphic field, Rupert Sheldrake might say, and that people who have skills can access this. And in that sense, that's what may be happening. We like to describe it, you know, as a god or goddess or whatever, but what do we really know?
Well, it's kind of, it's tied to the fact that we are connected. And so we all kind of come up with the same idea at the same time. Like we all rise together in a thought. And then suddenly everybody knows about it, even if you didn't really talk about it.
Yes, it's kind of like the 100th monkey phenomenon. I think it was like Alexander Graham Bell. He got into the patent office and put his patent for the telephone like an hour or two before some other guy came in whose name I can't even recall because he didn't get the patent. And the same thing for the telephone. And there's so many cases of scientists where, you know, they have all these developments and then two scientists will come up with it at nearly the same time. And I guess whoever gets to the patent office first is the one we remember. So that's kind of the way things are. And there's another he's the guy that came up with the whole concept of the scientific method. He came up, kind of came to him sort of in a dream. You know, the whole thing. He doesn't quite put it in the way we have, where there's observation, hypothesis, experiment, and conclusion. He had more verbose on that. But that's basically what it is. I mean, you observe something that doesn't fit into the understanding of the way things are supposed to be. You come up with an idea on maybe how this works. You do an experiment to see if your concept is real or not. And then you go back and look at it. And did you prove it or did you not? And 9 times out of 10, I'm sure you probably have to go back and do it again.
Well, exactly.
At least that's been that way for me.
It's funny listening to you butcher these names because I've read that name a million times, you know, not a million, but probably a good few thousand times, and I still would say the name wrong. So I'm glad, and I'm sure many people in the audience are like, yeah, I'm pretty crappy at it too. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, you know, I read stuff. I never actually get ever in a community of people that actually use the word.
It's like, exactly.
I have it on paper. And I'm from England. I'm an English speaker, so I'm apt to butcher foreign languages. So it's one thing in America, living in the United States is, you know, we rarely learn too much language, maybe Spanish, right? But because not like Europeans, they have a dozen languages all around them. And so you learn that thing as part of your life. Here, it's like they're just one language everywhere, pretty much.
Well,
and maybe
my husband
Spanish
is,
and that's it.
My husband is fluent in Spanish. That's his first language. And so our kids got that. They got English and Spanish when they were growing up. And then I put, my son got French, and I would have had him get Chinese, but he didn't have that available to him. And my daughter got Chinese. So my daughter has Chinese, Spanish, and English, and my son has French, Spanish, and English. And then he took Portuguese. So now he knows four languages. Huh. And my husband can, you know, he knows a little bit of Italian and stuff. And then there's me. I know English. That's all I know. Yeah. And everybody tells me and my whole family that I'm lame. And I admit I am. But at least I got them educated.
Yeah. Well, so, I got English and high school Spanish. So
better than me. I took Japanese in college and German in high school. But
you know
lame,
how that goes, yes.
All I did is get some basics and can't speak it, but oh well, who cares?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Like that, you got to practice it all the time, otherwise it's just gone.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm starting to pick up some of the Spanish stuff, but unless you're using it all the time, I have no real need. So that's why they say I'm lame. Anyways, keep going. This is more interesting than my
okay, they had another one. Nerves transmit chemicals chemically, and it's autoloi. And what he did is, you know, there's a problem is like where the synapse touches the other nerve, there's like a gap there. And they were saying, how did it get through? You know, some people said it was like electric spark. Some people said it was chemical. And so he was the guy, he kind of had the same thing. He had a dream, subconscious. It actually came to him several times. He'd have it and he would wake up and he couldn't remember it. But finally on the third time, he made sure he wrote it down and got it correct. But so that was one, you know, make sure you have a pencil and paper by your bedside if you're going to do that. So it's, and finally he got a Nobel Prize for that. He saw that, you know, he saw that the kind of the synapse, he saw the chemicals moving across the synapse. And we'll get to more of that. And then finally the guy with the fossil fish, Louis Agassiz, who is the world's foremost expert on fish speaking, current extinct, trying to understand the structure of a fossil fish for weeks, but he never could get it until one night he had a dream and he saw the fish exactly how it, you know, was, it worked. Because the fossil fish are important because, you know, the whole descent thing. So the way the jaws and everything work together is really important if you're working on evolutionary stuff. And so finally he basically had this dream vision and it came to him and then he wrote it down, drew it all out and he found his decision. That's just seven. I mean, these are the ones that admit to it. How many scientists actually?
They don't, I'm sure. Yeah. And Tesla, from what I understand, said that he got a lot of it in his dreams. You know who else did? And I don't know if he would want me to say this, but I'm going to do it anyways, because he told me on the phone, we have a lot of conversations. But Ian Mitchell says he gets a lot of stuff like that. And I always tell him, I mean, this guy's amazing. And that's why I want to introduce him to all of the other scientists I know, because I think people working together always can achieve more than independently. But I think a lot of people get those things. You know, I know that I can, when I can't figure something out, if I can sleep on it for some reason the next morning, and part of it is I just have a tired brain, but the other thing is you suddenly can understand things that you didn't understand before. That happens to me. Now, it doesn't happen where I came up with something that should win a Nobel Prize, but, you know, little things.
And I think this also is found in the social phenomena. You've heard the common story, the 100th monkey phenomena.
Yeah.
And just for a review of your things, they basically, the Japanese researchers were researching the macaque monkeys. They live in, you know, in Japan, but they hide out in the jungles and the trees, right? So they can't really, so what they do is they put sweet potatoes or rice down on the beach. And then the monkeys would come down to the beach to eat the stuff and they'd have to like wipe the sand off. And it took them a long time to do this. Until finally one smart female monkey, a young one, a very young one, would take like either the handful of sand and rice to the water and it would throw the sand and rice into the water. And of course, the rice would float and she would scoop it off and eat it. And of course, it saved gobs of time rather than chewing on sand. Or they'd take the whole sweet potato, go down, wash it off in the water and eat it. And she was the only one doing it for a while. And then some of her younger siblings, you know, started doing it. And then finally, you know, some of the sub adults, and finally, maybe it must have been, maybe one day the dominant male decided, well, this is a lot easier to do than spending, you know, minutes wiping off the sand, just wash it in the water. And then the whole troop of monkeys that was living on the beach, you know, went to doing that. And then that's not, you know, too much. It's like a transmission of knowledge. But was really bizarre on other isolated islands where they're studying the monkeys using the same techniques, the ability or the concept came to these monkeys to take the stuff down to the water and wash it off instead of like doing it. It just, once the whole troop came over, and then it somehow transmitted. And there's no way physically a monkey from that group on that one island could get to the other island to transmit that knowledge, but nevertheless it happened. And so that's like the...
Yeah, that's a famous mm-hmm. story about how... Now, isn't there... And this is why I wanted to talk to you. Isn't there stuff now that remote viewers are saying about C60? And before we get into that, I noticed, and you sent me these... I'm sorry, but they're incredible. I felt like I was in my physics college class watching some of these videos with these scientists. I'm like, oh my God, Ken! But... because they were incredibly dry, but there was a lot of really cool information in there. But they have this code, like this target that they use when they're going to remote view. What does that mean? And how?
Well,
can you explain
over
that
a time
bit?
They've developed a whole protocol. And so the thing is, the remote viewer cannot know anything about what they're going to remotely view. So what they do is the person who's decided what it's going to be will actually write like a code. Maybe they'll write what it is and put it inside an envelope, and then they'll just write a code. That's it. They know what the code means, but the remote viewer doesn't, and then they just give that person the code. And then that person writes the code, like if you go on various on YouTube stuff, they'll write the code on the board, and then they will want to remote view whatever that code is. These were protocols that were developed over years in the government's sponsored remote viewing things. And so that's what this came from. And so that's, so usually you just see a code and then the person will go remote view. And I guess unbeknownst to me, Dick Allgaier, he's a famous remote viewer, lives in Hawaii, nice warm Hawaii.
And
he has a group of remote viewers, and they decided they were going to go, he was going to have them remote view C60. And so they had some really, one of them was Edward Redan, I think that's how you say his name. And he's just, his remote viewing of C60 was simply amazing. And because he didn't know, the remote viewers don't know anything what their target is. Sometimes it's something in history or maybe something on a planet or something else. And they'd really never done microscopic, you know, molecule sized stuff. That's something that they'd never done before. And maybe you could put the links down below if the viewers want to go check that stuff out. It's really amazing.
Yeah, well, and I just want to warn you, it is dry, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And one of the amazing things, like he saw the actual structure, you know, like the physical structure of the C60 molecule, like you see back here, you know, that kind of cage-like shape. It's made of 12 pentagons and I think 20 hexagons, and it's exactly like a soccer ball. So he was seeing that kind of shape, and then he had things on, you know, he kind of like, there's like double carbon bonds, C60, a single carbon bond and double carbon bonds, depending on whether it's, you know, hexagon or pentagon. And so he actually saw that, and he was seeing some real interesting concepts of, you know, how double bonds work and how it was put together, which was interesting, because, you know, I have a chemistry master's in biogeochemistry, so... You know, I've spent a lot of time doing this, and it took a long time to kind of learn chemistry. I mean, it doesn't come easy. It takes a lot of time. So it takes a lot of stuff. So he was seeing things that I had already known about, and he learned some things about C60. One of the things people don't know about C60, unless you really research it, it spins. When it doesn't have anything attached to it, it spins like 100,000 RPMs. Just spins.
And just he said that in his remote viewing.
Yeah, exactly. He saw that stuff. And unless you really, really studied, you wouldn't know that.
Well, did anybody learn about what it'll do to us, and what are some of the, anything really cool about society and how there'll be some impacts or anything like that?
Well, they didn't really go. They kind of stayed strictly in the chemistry. Dick Allgaier, he also did some remote viewing of C60, though he kind of knew what it was about. So it wasn't like a totally double blind remote viewing, or I guess you can't say blind remote viewing, but so he knew what it was. But what things like he saw like a, he put it down, he called it DNA relief. And what it is, he saw was seeing the C60 helping, you know, the DNA, protecting the DNA, helping the DNA. What he was actually kind of what I would see is demethylization. That's what something that C60 appears to do. Because a lot of times, let's say, and this is kind of the epigenetic thing. Let's say if you had like an animal that was subject to really, really high starvation, its DNA would be modified. It would put like methyl groups on, say, the genes that had something to do with growth. So that the next generation that's born is going to be much smaller than that generation. That's why one of the reasons why humans get taller each generation is because we have so much plentiful food, that's not a lack. So there's been like a demethylization of those sorts of genes. So each generation gets taller and taller because we don't need to restrict that because there is no calorie restriction. And so what basically they're seeing is he was seeing what I would classify as demethylization of the DNA. And so it allows the full expression of whatever the DNA has in it. So that's something. And he also was seeing some, I would say, apoptosis, some of that kind of stuff. He saw various things on that. And this was on a couple of the things. And he was also seeing like the covalent and some of the peptide bonds kind of structures that go on between it. And especially some of the bond things when he looked at right at the bond angle. But he also saw things that I had no idea of. He saw the magnetic force or attractive force, where because C60 has a slight positive 2 charge, or in solutions it gets a positive charge, and oxidative radicals have a negative charge usually, so they have an extra electron. So C60 being positively charged and the oxidative radical being negative charge, they stick together.
Is this why you're so excited about it as well? Because you ended up learning something about it, and then you went and researched it and realized he was flipping right.
Yes, he was seeing all these things, and then he was seeing stuff.
Because you were like a kid in a toy store, candy store, when you were telling me about this. And so I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. And I'm like, that's really cool, though, when you learn about science. I mean, this is big stuff, especially for you. Like when that's why you were so excited. You ended up learning all these things. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one of the things, there seems to be what people call prana or chi or whatever that sort of energy is, which, you know, maybe science doesn't totally accept as existence, though there's lots of evidence for it. The orgone, the ode, there's a bunch of names for this stuff.
Oh, they're starting to put science behind that. They're starting to get it. You know, and the people that say, just because you don't think there is, I'm just going to start putting science behind this because I'm starting to put some parameters and I'm starting to understand it. Just because scientists claim it doesn't exist doesn't mean it can't be studied by science. I just reject all those notions. But anyways,
part of that is if they can't measure it, then they can't say it exists. But there's actually now have measurements. They can actually see a change in. I knew Trevor James Constable. He passed away a couple of years ago. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Etheric Rain Engineering. If you go to rainengineering.com, I think the site might still be up. But he did all this rain engineering. He called it etheric, but ode or whatever, that kind of stuff. So he had taught me a lot, and I'd learned that. But it's part of that whole, this energy flow, and they actually have measurement now. You can actually, it changes, like if the Wilhelm Reich, they put, you can actually change, it changes electrical conductivity, so.
And they're starting to map out our biosphere and all that stuff. And just because they don't understand it, doesn't mean it's not science. It just might mean you don't understand it and you haven't evolved enough, or you just don't get it. That doesn't mean that it's not science.
It doesn't exist, yes.
Yeah.
But now that we can measure it,
we can
actually do science.
Or it's not even capable of being, yeah.
And so that's what he just saw, all these, it's hard to describe, you know, just the short time we got here. But he just discovered all these things that I already knew about C60. So it would be, he was seeing stuff that, you know, took me weeks, months, years to learn about from reading all the literature. I mean, it's a stack. There's a stack of C60 stuff. And so I found out, you know, I've been going through it and learning this stuff. And there's always new things coming out. I don't know if you saw one. They finally, some people, it was like in Science Daily and a couple others, they finally figured out the number of possible quantum states that C60 can hold is something like 10 to the 24th power. That's like a 10 with 24 zeros behind it. So, and that just came out recently. So, which is, that gets beyond, quantum is, that'll give you a headache. Because I can't, and I don't really know anybody else that can understand quantum phenomena intuitively. You got to like really work on it, and it becomes so super complicated once you have more than a few things interacting. It's Yeah,
well, I think it's easier to understand it conceptually than it is to understand
yes,
it mathematically.
It is. Yeah, you can know the basics of it, but the actual application, like a quantum computer, that goes.
I'm clueless. Yeah. Well, let us talk a little bit about your, because I know you couldn't do the interview last week. You really wanted to, and then we ended up having a scheduling issue that was my fault. But you wanted to do it, and then you had this stress thing, or you had some virus, and you can see it a little bit in your face now.
Yep.
What, you're okay, right? This is,
It
was way worse last week.
Oh, yeah, it's like almost gone. So it's like that little problem I had has been cleared out fast. And of course, I've been taking like massive doses of C60 and other things. But that's one of the things about C60. I have various other people that are friendly competitors anyway in the business. And one of the things is they found that C60 will really help with like any neurological conditions. One of his right hand man that helps him run the business. He was a real estate guy, and he had a stroke that had pretty much put him out of business. Right. And also there's a rancher that lived nearby him. Oh, you know, Max.
Yeah, I know Max. We talked about some of this stuff. They're working on some things for advanced neurological issues that I'm very excited about, because we could actually really help people. I think I'm tired of all the problems that I'm hearing. I really want to help people find solutions so that we can just start making a difference. Let's really make a dent in some of these big issues that we have. And so it's exciting when I see some of this stuff, because it's in the big picture, it's not that expensive to fix a problem. That's
serious. Yeah, these guys had like stroke that the doctors told them, you know, you're basically for life. And so, but they took the C60 and they came fully back, fully functional again. And of course, that's why he became, you know, Max's right-hand man there in the C60 world. And because this stuff does it. And that's also like Dr. Loretta.
So is this Phil? Is this Phil that had this?
No, not Phil. No, this is somebody else. I don't want to mention the name.
I was going to say, I don't think Phil would have said it on.
No. Phil's fine. But his health has really improved too on C60. But
oh, yeah.
These are other people.
Dr. Loretta, she talked about her eyes. You know, came on with her eyes. And these are like proven. She has all the lab results and everything.
But you got to remember the retina of the eye. In fact, the eye itself is an extension of the brain. And so the sort of healing that she sees, I've seen the before and after pictures she has, it's just miraculous. Because she had wet macular degeneration, all these bubbles and stuff. It looked horrible. And, of course, she's got access to some of the best imaging stuff around in the state. And so they've been doing the before and after and after and after, you know, making a progression of it. She'll probably publish something once, so I don't want to really go into too much. But it's just unbelievable. And that's, you know, that is basically the retina is our part of the brain. So that amazing healing she's seeing in the retina, and I have other people, customers that have the same thing, before and after pictures, also can happen in the brain. So C60 just has an amazing ability to heal neurological damage.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So what happened recently where you have all these people selling your stuff on eBay and it's not yours and they're adding stuff to it? And what happened with that?
Oh, no, we got pinched by an organized crime gang from UK. They basically went on the dark web, bought stolen credit cards. And they hit us and a bunch of other companies from the U.S. See, they're working in the U.K., and then they're doing their crimes against people in other countries, primarily the U.S. Because I looked at the other people they'd hit, and they hit other C60 producers like myself. They hit like Alex Jones' site. They hit all these other, especially small, high value items that they, and then they're reselling them on eBay. You know, and I can't get, and we got to jump through all these hoops to get eBay. I mean, they had. What is this thing? So I'm just saying there was just a warning out there. We posted it on our website and posted it other places. Don't buy any C60 Purple Power or probably any other C60 product or consumer product on UK eBay. It's only happening in the UK. It's not happening anywhere else. Nobody's credit cards got breached. It's some in our system or anybody else's system. It's just these are some guys buying stuff from the dark web and then trying to scam. And it's primarily, you know, U.S. companies. Foreign companies, and because they're foreign companies, right, they may be criming out in the UK, but because they're doing their crimes on foreign companies, it's not like a crime in the UK to a certain extent. And so, and these guys have been doing it for a while. They're just they pinched us. We had to shut down our merchant account credit card thing. We're going to reboot, you know, next week or two. and with high, super high security, so they can't pull this off again on us.
Oh yeah, once you get burned, you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we're not the only ones. Yeah. This is a criminal gang that's been hitting foreign companies, and the UK doesn't seem to care, or maybe they're just too inept. I don't know, because look at Theresa May's government and the whole Brexit thing.
Yeah, but this happens. It's a pretty common thing across industries. You're not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah. I wanted you to mention it so that people can be aware.
Yeah, because
they said they were adding additives to some of them.
No, what they did is they said there were some of them up there that only on the UK eBay, right? They said they were refurbished. How can you have a refurbished food product? I mean, whatever. Yeah, that's I don't know if they put it in wrong or whatever it is, but that's what you're saying.
It must be in wrong.
You can get, you can go to our website, you can get it off Amazon, and we even have an eBay site, but it comes from us. So if you buy from us or Amazon, or we also have several wholesalers out there. Yes, and they sell our product. So those people, you can be assured of quality because, you know, there's a direct chain of custody. But these guys selling it on UK eBay that have nothing to do with us, they're basically reselling stolen product. And I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, we know where the stolen product went to. And we know where they're fencing it or selling it on eBay. I mean, what are they thinking? It's like in today's electronic world, they won't know who they are. I mean, Scotland Yard can probably put that together, you know, I think. And get catch these guys
if they care.
But you know they
they don't care. They got their.
They need them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. They don't care.
Because you know we're small countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Well, how can?
And that's just so we have to do.
Unfortunately,
something.
Right? How can people get a hold of you? And I know you have a YouTube where you're saying all sorts of cool things all the time. And then you have websites.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we have c60purplepower.com. That's our website, and you can go there and order product through PayPal. And we'll have another credit card with better security up soon. And also, you can go to our Amazon and buy our product there. And there's several wholesalers around. There's one in Australia and several others in different parts of the world that you can buy our product from. But we just want to make sure people don't buy it from eBay UK. That's just the BOA. And so that's the way. And also, I have like a C60 show, which is the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And they're all posted on YouTube. So you can go there and we talk about various issues. Usually we'll do like a little slideshow of some issue about C60, some usefulness. And then I'll do like a live question, answer questions that people have. And you can actually send questions to us, questions@c60purplepower.com. And we kind of go through and select them. And if we don't select them, usually we get around to answering them for you and send you an email back.
Oh, that's great. That's very helpful because I get questions and I'm like, well, I don't, this is what I know, but I'm not the expert at it. I mean, I can answer a lot of them, but they really should be going to you and to these other company people who are experts. Okay. Yeah. Well, will you stick around for my Patreons?
Sure.